Hello and welcome back to another episode of FPL 360. Chuck and I are back after a long, cold, and dreary international break. Before we get down to business, Chuck, how'd you entertain yourself during a weekend without Premier League action?
I spent the entire weekend in New York City and took it off from soccer.
Yeah, I had planned to also take the weekend off from soccer that lasted about hour and a half to 2 hours on Saturday morning when I found myself watching NYCFC and MLS.
Yep, that was quite the draw.
But with so much time where we haven't chatted about the Premier League, I think it's fitting if we get down to business. The first match kicking off Premier League action this weekend, Crystal Palace will be hosting Liverpool for what will be a clash of clubs at opposite ends of the table. The biggest storyline here, considering Jurgen Klopp's going to have one eye on next Wednesday's Champions League clash with Manchester City, would you consider this somewhat of a trap game for Liverpool?
I don't know what's a trap game for Liverpool anymore, because we think that we can predict these things, but they're just really good. Because, like, Watford should have been a trap game for them, and then they just came out and Mo Salah did Mo Salah things.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the one thing I was thinking, there could be some squad rotation. And then, I mean, just because they have the quarterfinal clash coming up, could you see Klopp, you know, sitting some of the guys in midfield?
I mean, he may sit guys in midfield, but they're not the guys we're playing. Like, he's gonna start his attacking three almost no matter what.
I guess mainly the question is pertaining to with James Milner maybe getting a start, or do you think he gets a start in the Champions League?
I think it's more likely that Milner gets a start in the league now that they're in Champions League games that really matter.
And then the other situation to monitor, Joe Gomez has been ruled out for at least this weekend after suffering an ankle injury on international duty with England. Now, Nathaniel Klein is working his way back. I'm not sure if he's fully match fit yet, but does that make Trent Alexander-Arnold the defender to target from Liverpool this week?
So the interesting thing is I honestly think that makes Klein the defender to target. Because I'm checking now, but I don't believe that Klein is eligible for Champions League because I don't think he was registered.
That's a good point. Klein is available at 5.3 in OFPL. That's a little bit too rich for my taste, just he hasn't played.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I am wrong.
Oh, okay.
Nathaniel Klein, Virgil van Dijk, and Danny Ings were added to Liverpool's Champions League squad after the close of the transfer window.
Okay. So I guess with that information at hand, Trent Alexander-Arnold is probably the guy to target. For 4.3 in OFPL, that's a good price, and he's only owned in 38% of Toga leagues.
Yeah, I mean, with that, because the only reason why I was saying to target Klein in the league was because I thought he couldn't play in Champions League. But considering that Klein is the more experienced and more dynamic right back, he will most definitely, once healthy, be playing against City in Champions League.
Yeah, and then the other guy, I took a little bit of a gamble because I had a roster spot in a 12-team Toga league. I actually scooped Adam Lallana on the off chance he gets a start this weekend against Crystal Palace. That's like my punt times two of the week.
That is quite the punt.
Yeah. Crystal Palace, I mean, they have good fixtures following this match, but this weekend, the goal potential of Liverpool, it's just a little bit wavers my confidence.
Yeah, like, I like Palace defenders, not against Liverpool. I like most of the Palace attackers. Again, not against Liverpool. But I like all of Palace once Ruben Loftus-Cheek proves that he's healthy enough to start.
Yeah, exactly. A match where I like players on both sides of the ball, Brighton and Leicester City. And I guess the quintessential mid-table clash right now. Brighton have won three in a row at home, but the standout statistic for me is that over their last five matches at the Amex Stadium, there have been a total of 16 goals scored.
Yeah, they've turned it around on the attacking end. And interestingly enough, I feel like this will be one of their last matches of the season where they can put in a true offensive output.
Yeah, if you look at their schedule, they have Leicester this week, then they have Huddersfield, Crystal Palace. But then it gets kind of tricky with Spurs, Burnley, United, Liverpool, and Man City. So this is kind of the first of the last three matches where Brighton guys are someone that I would kind of circle.
Yeah, play Glenn Murray while you can.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, on the other side of the ball, it's obviously the Mahrez and Vardy show. I guess with all that information in hand, which side are you favoring in this match? I mean, it's pretty much Brighton's home form versus Mahrez and Vardy.
Considering I still don't trust Leicester, I would take Brighton at home.
Yeah, and another thing kind of working in Leicester's favor, specifically Harry Maguire, Brighton have conceded the most goals from set pieces this season. So,
but most of that is because of own goals.
Yeah, also that. But, I mean, Leicester's kind of been poor defending set pieces as well. So, I mean, it kind of gives a little bit boost to the aerial defenders, even though I don't see a clean sheet on the other side of the ball.
So is our favorite defender, Lewis Dunk, going to get two goals, one for each team?
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, no, I mean, I would definitely bet on Dunk goal, Dunk own goal, Harry Maguire goal. If I was placing a bet on who's going to score.
Good Lord, that would be the weirdest scoreline ever.
Exactly. Is there anyone else from, I guess it's the usual suspects for Leicester, is there anyone else from Brighton that's kind of caught your interest besides Murray and then the own goal magician?
Considering that Duffy and Matt Ryan are kind of your ever-present fantasy prospects? No, but I know you have someone.
Yeah, for Taga specifically, Davey Proper, he's been on a low-key solid floor lately. He's had at least 9 points in each of his last six matches. So, I mean, that's someone to look at if you need, like, he has a low ceiling, but his floor has been 9 points lately, which is pretty much good for a fourth, fifth midfielder in a 12-team league.
Yeah, I mean, I was heavy on him earlier in the season, but then he cooled off.
Yeah, I mean, it's by no means sexy production. It's aerials, tackles won, and interceptions. But that's just something to note if there's a limited pool of midfielders available in a deeper league. But I think that kind of wraps it up for that match. So we're going to move on to the disaster that is West Ham hosting Southampton in a relegation-themed clash. This should be exciting. The Hammers have conceded 11 goals and scored just two in their last three matches. Meanwhile, Southampton have new boss Mark Hughes at the helm and an attacking boost with the return of Charlie Austin.
So are we allowed to just skip this match?
Yeah, so I'm going to do the crystal ball right now. Mikel Antonio goal, Charlie Austin brace, Charlie Austin off in the 63rd minute with another injury.
But if Mikel Antonio actually starts, he's not going to score. And I also know that your Charlie Austin brace only means that he's going to score one goal and get injured.
Yeah. Yes, for those who are not aware, the Charlie Austin brace is a goal and then getting hurt. I guess on a more serious note, is West Ham pretty much a wasteland of FPL players right now?
Outside of Aaron Cresswell and Taga, just about.
Yeah, and I mean, to make matters worse, Manuel Lanzini is an early doubt. He scored for Argentina, but he picked up a knock. So David Moyes could potentially be without the one guy who at times has shown enough spark to, you know, kind of prop up the Hammers.
Yeah, which is not good whatsoever.
In terms of Southampton, we don't really know what we're going to get with Hughes in his first match in charge. So I would definitely pump the brakes on anyone that from that club outside of Austin.
Yeah, we're hoping for that new manager boost, but we don't even know who the hell the new manager is going to trot out. So, like, definitely hold off.
Yeah, exactly. But that's enough for that match. Moving on, Manchester United are 1.5 home favorites against Swansea. That's still pretty high. I mean, the only times you see 2-goal favorites at home pretty much would be Liverpool playing like West Brom.
But I wouldn't be surprised to see this be like a 3-goal win.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'll be hoping for. United have a boost. Anthony Martial is in contention after playing alongside Paul Pogba for France midweek. But Ashley Young and Scott McTominay are slight doubts with Knox picked up over the international break. With that news in hand, do you think Martial gets a start over Rashford, or do you think Mourinho sticks with Rashford in the starting 11?
I'd assume that Rashford would start this one and Martial would start the next game, but who the hell knows what Mourinho's going to do, because even he doesn't know his best 11.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing of interest is if Ashley Young is unable to go, we could potentially see a Luke Shaw cameo.
Which would be good, because we need to see more Luke Shaw and a lot less of Ashley Young.
Yeah, you want to see what you're getting with him when he goes to Spurs next season.
Oh yeah, straight swap for Danny Rose.
Shaw is only owned in 23% of target leagues. I guess gambling on him potentially starting, is he someone you would pick up if you have a defensive spot to burn?
I wouldn't. I mean, if I could actually hold him right now with no consequences, sure.
Yeah.
The issue is just bench spots are so valuable right now that I'd have a hard time picking him up before lineups are announced.
Yeah, and then speaking of lineups, then there's the pressing question of the Paul Pogba situation. I mean, at 7.8,
he should play, right?
Yeah, he should. I mean, he had a goal and an assist for France. He looked good. He banged in a nice free kick. I mean, it's tough to lay off of him in OFPL just for 7.8 million. I'm considering if he starts this game and doesn't piss Mourinho off, looking at him for the double game week. Do you think, even though he struggled, he's going to bounce back before the end of the season? Or do you think the kind of troubles, whatever is going on behind the scenes, is too much for him to overcome?
See, the issue is I wouldn't be surprised if he gets in another spat with Mourinho by the end of the season.
Yeah, it's kind of like a nice high school girl argument issue, I think, that's happening. I have no proof for that, but I just would like to imagine it. It's something like Mean Girls. Which is one of my favorite movies, I have to admit. Moving on to the next match, Huddersfield Town travel to Newcastle, and there's trouble for the Terriers because their best player, pretty much their entire team, Aaron Moy, is a doubt after picking up a slight injury while on international duty with Australia. To make matters worse, Huddersfield Town have failed to score in 6 of their last 8 matches.
Yeah, this is my weekly pick of start your defenders.
Yeah, I mean, Newcastle looked good against Southampton last time out. They haven't played in over 3 weeks, so I guess just to jot everyone's memory, Jonjo Shelvey had 2 assists, and Kennedy, who's on loan from Chelsea, had a brace and looked real good.
So one I trust and one I don't.
Yeah, sticking with Kennedy, he's also taken over set-piece duty since arriving on loan. Does his price tag at $4.7 million kind of make him the best budget midfield buy for game week 32?
Without a doubt. Because prior to him bursting on the scene, my favorite budget midfield buy was Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain at about 5.6, and he is miles cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, if you also factor in that Matt Ritchie picked up a knock during the international break, if he's out, that's just going to mean even more of the offense is going to run through Kennedy. And I mentioned Shelvey just because if Aaron Moy's out, he's going to have his way with that midfield, and he should be able to create a ton of chances.
Or he's going to get a red card.
Yeah, there's also the dreaded Jonjo Shelvey red card watch. I'm leaning towards Newcastle in this match. Huddersfield Town has been too inconsistent and poor on the road for me to have confidence in them, although they have at times made us look like idiots with these random performances.
Yeah, I'm just leaning towards no one.
Yeah, so I mean, outside of Kennedy, that's the only guy I really like in that matchup. Moving on to Watford, Bournemouth. This should be an attack-focused fixture, just because both teams can score goals and both teams like to be bad at defending.
So if Watford scores first, 4-1 Watford, if Bournemouth scores first, 4-3 Bournemouth?
Yeah, I could see that. I think the one thing that is kind of worth some attention is Jermaine Defoe is finally fit. Callum Wilson has not scored in his last six starts. Do you think now that he's fit, he poses a threat to Wilson's, you know, prior monopoly on the starting forward spot?
Oh, I definitely say he poses a threat. I just don't know if he's healthy enough to actually make good on that threat.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thought would be if the rest of Eddie Howe's team is kind of pretty much cutting forward without injuries. And if you look at the table right now, I mean, Bournemouth and Watford are tied on 36 points. Bournemouth's ahead on goal difference. So this could be a huge win for them. I wouldn't be surprised if Howe tries to maybe, I don't know, light up the team a little bit with the injection of Defoe and then have Wilson come on as a substitute. I mean, could you see this happening, or do you think often
it could happen. I just don't particularly think it would work.
I mean, I'm just thinking that Defoe kind of offers a little bit more since Wilson only really is effective when they're playing on the run, which is why with his legs at the later on in the match, I would think he would be a better choice to come off the bench than Defoe.
Yeah, no,
and his poor form.
I 100% get what you're saying. I just don't agree with it.
And then this will also be our weekly mention of Junior Stanislaus's fit. Junior Stanislaus is good when fit. You should start Junior Stanislaus if you can get him in your team.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think that pretty much does it for that match, unless you had any other words of wisdom.
Nah, we probably already said a little more about that match than we really like to.
Bottom boys West Brom hosting 7th-placed Burnley. I really wanted to pronounce that because there's a couple of B's in that sentence, but mainly Burnley are on the cusp of European qualification.
So, Chris Wood versus the world?
Yeah, so we talked before we started recording. You got Ashley Barnes. He's been in good form. He's provided goals and bonus points in each of his last three matches. You got Chris Wood, who's now fit. He scored 3 goals across 2 substitute appearances. I know we both want to see them start up top. Do you think that's a realistic possibility, or is that too much wishful thinking?
So I don't think it's a realistic possibility, but for fantasy prospects, good Lord, I hope it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at kind of the makeup of that team, and switching from a 4-4-1 to a 4-4-2 is actually pretty cut and dry. The one alteration would be either dropping Jeff Hendricks from that attacking role into central midfield for Ashley Westwood, or just completely leaving Hendrick on the bench.
I mean, so or it's you not could a, just slot Hendrick out wide, because he can do that too.
That's another possibility too, although it seems like Aaron Lennon's kind of like nailed a place in that team.
I don't see what, even watching Lennon in that team, I don't see what he brings to it outside of just running at defenders and not doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, he even at 31, I mean, he is still pretty quick on the outside, so he does have that over Hendrick, but I don't know. I mean, this is kind of us entertaining a scenario that I know we would like to see and that I'm sure a lot of Burnley fans would like to see.
Obviously, Sean Dyche knows what he's doing. We just like him to put out a lineup that's more appealing for our FPL prospects. Is that too much to ask?
Yeah, so I guess hypothetically, if both were to start, which guy would you like more?
Oh, if both... I mean, if both start, I feel like I have to go Wood, although I really want to go Barnes. Because usually it's been Wood that's been the one that's benefiting from coming on after Barnes has already worn down your defense.
Yeah, I mean, those two dudes are pretty even. I like them. I lean more towards Chris Wood and Taga just because Barnes is like 0.9 cheaper in OFPL. I like both of them.
I mean, hell, against West Brom, if both start, I'd start both if I own them.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing why I think maybe Dyche could maybe experiment is just because West Brom are conceding goals bad. West Brom are that bad, and they're just conceding goals at a horrific rate. So this would be the one match they have from here on out where they could try something as they try and catch Arsenal, who are currently 5 points above them in the table. Which is a sentence I never thought I would hear myself say, is Burnley are on Arsenal's tail.
Welcome to the All Premier League.
Yeah. A match that is pretty straightforward. Everton will be losing to Manchester City at Goodison Park. The one thing I want to say, though, how should people gauge the value of Tosin? I mean, he's been scoring goals at a great rate, but if you look at Everton's schedule, I mean, he's got Man City. He's got two tough matches with Man City this weekend at home, and then they're home again against Liverpool next week.
I mean, he's got his confidence back. I would 100% be playing him in the next 2 weeks. But in draft leagues, I want to get him now because I don't think you can get him in 2 weeks. In OFPL, I'm watching him to see how he performs now and then bring him into my team for Everton's soft run-in to end the season.
Yeah, so Tosin right now in Taga, he's owned in 53% of leagues, and over the last 3 weeks, he's averaging 20 points per match.
Something tells me that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not too good with numbers, but I'm pretty sure that's a really good number. On the other side of the ball, the only thing with City, do you think there's a potential rotation risk just with the Champions League quarterfinal next Wednesday against
there's
Liverpool?
There's always a rotation risk with City. The issue is we don't have the slightest clue who would be rotated. We just know that it won't include Otamendi and Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at kind of how they had done it previously, and just based upon who started last week, I mean, I could see Gundogan getting a start in central midfield. But outside of that, I mean, Bernardo Silva is always there, but I don't really know if Pep will rest his wingers.
Yeah, no, you really don't know.
Yeah, because he's probably worried about Manchester United catching them in the table, so he needs all the firepower out there.
Or he's just finding another way to toy with Manchester United when the league eventually gets clinched at Old Trafford.
Moving on to the next match, also featuring a team in Europe, not in the Champions League. Arsenal hosts Stoke City on Sunday. I would think this match will take a backseat to their Europa League quarterfinal clash with CSKA Moscow. Is it safe to say Wenger will rest at least one or two of his big guns, with that specifically being Ozil and probably Wilshire.
See, the thing is, it's tough because after international breaks, I feel like some of these guys just need to play. It's tough to justify resting Ozil when he's already missed so much time this year due to his mysterious illness issues. Like, I've never seen a single player miss more time to illness due to a season than Mesut Ozil.
Yeah, he did not feature for Germany in their defeat to Brazil in midweek. I mean, I guess he's expected to be back. And then Jack Wilshere missed both of England's matches. He remains a doubt here, but I'm assuming he's going to
He at
be
least
ready
needs
to
to
go.
feature.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that puts in the streaming realm, Alex Iwobi seems to have been the guy on the left in Premier League recently. So I guess he's in contention if he's available in your leagues.
And because you're not touching Elneny.
Yeah, I mean, he has no value in any format of fantasy.
This is correct.
Yeah, I mean, Iwobi's available in pretty much 60% of leagues. He hasn't done too much lately, but against the Potters at home, I mean, there's always a chance for a goal or an assist.
Yeah,
Speaking
and
of the Potters, I mean,
that's.
I just have to mention because he's in teams because of his price. Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting is going to miss out, so that means Ramadan Sobi will probably get a start on the left.
You mean the guy that people only had because he was cheaper than Stokes' only viable fantasy asset, and then they realized, wait, he actually kind of sucks? That guy?
Yes, I am referring to him.
Yeah,
Do you see?
because on Stoke, unfortunately, right now, they have two startable assets, and they are Jarryn Shaqiri and Jack Butland. In Taga, you might be able to get away with starting Kurt Zouma. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much covered it right there. Well enough that we're going to move on to Chelsea and Tottenham in the game of the week. So, Chuck, no Harry Kane for Spurs.
No Harry Kane,
How
no
do they
problem.
cope? How do they cope?
I see in my crystal ball that Lucas Moura comes in to partner with Serge Aurier on the right. Son starts up top. Spurs play four in the back and beat Chelsea by multiple goals.
I mean, this is a massive match for both clubs. Right now, Tottenham on 61 points. They're in fourth, Chelsea in fifth on
It's called nailing
56.
that coffin.
Looking at Chelsea, Morata has only started one of their last four matches when he's been fit. Each week, Chuck and I kind of discuss how frustrating it is with the Blues starting 11 and Antonio Conte's concept of how he wants to use forwards. And I guess we'll just do this question right now that we got from John Staples on Twitter. I mean, Morata has only one start in the last seven. That includes injuries. If he doesn't start this week, is there a need to keep hold of him in draft leagues?
No, I'm really looking at just dropping him. I've found it hard to justify owning him at points that he has started this season. And if he's not starting, I really can't justify having him.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough just because it's hard to drop someone who you most likely either paid a bunch to trade for or drafted high. I mean, Chelsea doesn't have, God, I don't, there's just too much uncertainty with that team.
I mean, you
I
can
mean,
try and trade him, but he doesn't have any value.
yeah, you just got to hope that whoever you're trading him to doesn't listen to the podcast. But I mean, you can obviously do worse, but at the same time, I mean, just the uncertainty of the minutes played. I mean, if you're in the playoff hunt and you need, and I would hold him if you're a team, if you've gotten this far with him and been able to cover,
I mean,
I think I would keep him.
if your league has playoffs and you're already sitting pretty in a playoff spot, then it makes sense to hold him just because of the fact that you're more concerned about what's going to happen in the next 3 weeks than you are in what's going to happen right now. But if it's a straight table and you need to gain ground, he's not going to help you with that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, if you look at Chelsea's matches from here on out, they have West Ham, Southampton, Burnley, Swansea, Liverpool, Newcastle, and Huddersfield. So I'm assuming Morata will get a couple starts in there. But as I said, if you've been able to get along without him, I would hold him on the off chance you drop him and someone else does it if you have playoffs enabled. But getting back to the match, I know you want to give me a score line for what Spurs are going to win by?
3-1.
3-1. Okay, I'm going to go with 2-1 Spurs because it's Chelsea. So I'm sure Conte will have something up his sleeve for how to cope with the Hunmin Son led attack.
He'll try, but I don't think he'll do very well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this as a neutral. Expecting a decent amount of fantasy points on both sides of the ball, although I'm definitely downgrading both clubs' defenders.
Not Ben Davies, because he's going to get an assist.
Yeah, except him, the assist magnet that is Davies. No chance of Danny Rose getting back in the team.
Not in the league, nope. He's done.
All right, now we're going to talk about some double game week targets. With all the buzz around which teams to target, Chuck and I figured the best way to attack this and kind of lay it out was to go club by club and break down the players we thought had the best value over the double game weeks. So I think logically we'll start off with Manchester United. Besides them being my favorite team, I think they have the best value as they host West Brom and Bournemouth. Plus, they're going to have another double game week coming down the pipe. I don't think you're going to object on this one, but is it safe to say Romelu Lukaku is probably the best forward out of the crop available?
I would definitely agree with that due to the fact that one, in OFPL, Alexis Sanchez is not a forward. Two, there's just the fact that he has not been himself at Manchester United. So, considering the other forwards United has in Marcus Rashford and Anthony Martial, who both probably won't start both games, Lukaku's your best bet.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing too with Alexis, I mean, he's only 0.1 more, but if you look at Lukaku's performances of late, he's starting to look more like himself. He's got 2 goals and 2 assists in his last 3 matches. And if for some reason Harry Kane is out longer than just this week and next, I mean, Lukaku's definitely the big pivot. You mentioned Rashford. I kind of had him pinned just because at 7.4, he's cheaper. He'll probably get one start. And then the other guy with just some question marks is Paul Pogba at 7.8 million. I guess it's a little weird with where he fits into this United team right now. I would think he is going to, I don't know, on the up after a goal and assist for France. Or do you think he's too risky just because we don't really know what's going on with him and Mourinho?
Well, it's just there's so many options in midfield that while I really do like Paul Pogba and I would like Pogba against this opposition, I just can't justify him.
Yeah, I mean, with question marks around him, the other midfielder I think who's the best premium option, you're going to have to go up from 7.8 to 8.8, is Riyad Mahrez. Leicester City are away to Burnley and home against Southampton. They also have the 2 double game week boosts. He's got a goal or an assist in 11 of his last starts. Sorry, 8.9, actually. Is that too expensive if you haven't brought him in already?
I mean, it depends because considering a lot of people are getting rid of Harry Kane in their teams, you have money to spend.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it's a good point you bring up with the kind of makeup of my team right now. I actually brought in Vardy, who's the other forward I was looking at, him and Lukaku this week, and I shed Kane and Steve Meunier. So, like you said, there is money to burn for guys to look at. I mean, you and I had both brought Mahrez in earlier in the season for I think 8.4, 8.5.
Yeah, it was
So
very cheap.
we're sitting pretty on them. And then I just guess with Vardy, I mean, Jamie Vardy's Jamie Vardy. He's got 5 in his last 7, 7 in his last 10. He's not as consistent as he was during the title winning year, but I mean, it's
He's
still
still
Vardy.
getting the
It's hard
job
to,
done.
yeah, exactly. It's hard to bet against them. And then in terms of cheaper options and defense, I mean, Ben Chilwell deserves a shout. He seems to have kind of overtaken Christian Fuchs as the starting left back, and he's got one assist from four straight starts. Do you think at $4.3 million that's a good price for him, or do you think I'm a little too hot on him just after his good performance for the U21s?
So I like Chilwell in Taga, but the only Leicester defender that I'm touching in OFPL is Harry Maguire because of bonus points and goal potential.
Yeah, I mean, at 5.6, and he's a constant threat on all set pieces, he's definitely their premium guy. I just thought Chilwell was worth a shout considering he's only 4.3. I mean, you're taking a little bit of a gamble. He's definitely a less certain lock of points than Maguire. But if you're looking to shave points and get someone from Leicester's backline in there, I would favor him over Wes Morgan.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I would not touch Wes Morgan.
Yeah, Chelsea is the other club who have appealing fixtures. They're away at Southampton and Burnley. I mean, it's the usual suspects there. Looking at kind of the minutes played and who I think would get the most time, probably Marcos Alonso and Azpilicueta are the safest two players at the back. I mean, do you think – I mean, I would assume that Azpilicueta gets two starts and Alonso as well, or do you think maybe he sits one of those matches?
I can't pick an Antonio Conte lineup because when we think he's going to start Alonso, he starts two right backs. And then there's also just the fact that Chelsea's defense hasn't been as good as it was last year. I really can't justify owning a premium Chelsea defender. And then you add in the fact that Andreas Christensen doesn't stay on the field for long enough to get a clean sheet.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah, that Christensen run was crazy. There was a, I think across four matches, he played 57 minutes, 57, 27, and then he finally got it with 73. But there's always a gamble there. Looking at the minutes played, I mean, there's not a ton of upside just because of the role he plays in that midfield. But I mean, N'Golo Kanté at 4.9, he's probably the only guy I would say is in that team no matter what formation Kanté goes with.
Well, considering that even Eden Hazard has been pulled after 60 minutes if Chelsea isn't doing well.
Yeah, I mean, Willian was someone I was looking at, but then kind of as we're talking about it, I'm thinking, you know, depending upon what he does with Morata and Hazard, I mean, Willian could maybe sit one of those matches. So that's why I thought N'Golo Kanté was worth a shout, although you're really just banking on maybe he gets an assist and he gets.
Yeah, I was gonna say at that point you're just playing a warm body.
Yeah, and I mean I guess if you're kind of getting down at that point, you might as well go up. And one of the guys I think you could go up to is Pascal Gross. I mean, Brighton's away to Crystal Palace, home to Chelsea, but over the last six game weeks, he's got 15 shots and 7 on target. So I mean, those are two stats that I definitely do like.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're a fan of Junior Stanislas. I mean, can you really sell me on him? I mean, Bournemouth has Liverpool at away and United at home.
I mean, so I still think that he'll score against Liverpool and then get shut out against United. But am I willing to bet on that? Not necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're kind of going for Stanislas could probably match Gross in one match, what Gross could do across two.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah, so I mean, it's kind of pick your poison there. Someone who has been extremely poisonous in the right way, Heung-Min Son, Spurs host Man City, and they travel to Brighton. He's got 4 goals and an assist in his last two matches.
Yeah, so striker Son should be in your team. He's in mine.
Yeah, for those who play FIFA, inform striker Son. yeah, I mean, he's the man with Kane out, right? I mean, I don't see big Fernando Llorente, who I think looks like Big Bird from Sesame Street, getting the start. And if he does, he's going to be useless.
Yeah, I mean, there's in reality, Llorente is worse than Vincent Janssen. And that's saying something. Because Janssen at least came in and worked hard. Llorente just comes there and stands like a tree. I honestly don't believe that there will be that much of a difference in the Spurs offense between Son leading the line and Harry Kane leading the line. If anything, it just means that they're going to actually be even more dangerous on the counter.
Yeah, I mean, that means there'll be a little bit more pace in that lineup, which is never a bad thing. And then I guess the last guy I was looking at, if he can stay fit, Charlie Austin at 5.8 million. Southampton with new manager Mark Hughes host Chelsea and are away to Leicester.
So you've got
Before he got
30
hurt,
minutes.
yeah, before he got hurt, he had 6 goals in 596 minutes this season.
Yeah, I love Charlie Austin, but he has Daniel Sturridge syndrome, and you can just never expect him to actually stay on the field. And I also don't know what I'm going to get out of Southampton with Mark Hughes. I love Mark Hughes as a manager. I truly appreciate what he did with Stoke City, making them actually relevant again. But can he replicate it? We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around. He's seen enough from all the clubs he's at where I think there will be a bit more stability. But at the same time, I want to see how that team lines up and how he kind of approaches tactically before I make any investments in any sort of FPL platform.
Yeah, definitely fair because if anything, this could be a case of too little, too late.
Yeah, and then also worth a shout. My favorite Iceland international, Jóhann Berg Guðmundsson. Burnley
You would
are,
find a way to fit him in here.
yeah, Burnley are, I didn't put him in the notes because I didn't want you to not let me mention him. Burnley are home against Leicester, home against Chelsea. At 5.1 million, he's probably got the most upside for anyone in that range. Also, I rate him
Burnley also doesn't
higher.
have great options in that double game week, but whatever you say.
Yeah, I mean, well, if they have the two big towers up there, in Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes,
You're
that
saying
could
this
be
as if
your
they're gonna
Spurs
play
reasons for
them
wanting to use him.
together.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not ruling anything out at this point.
Okay.
It's a best case scenario. Over his last 5 matches, he's got a goal and 2 assists and
But
some bonus points
when
too.
you have to talk yourself into this instead of realizing that it's a good idea, it's probably not a good idea.
I mean, if you look at his performance this season, Berg's last 2 goals have come against Liverpool and Manchester City. So it's not like he hasn't shown up against formidable
Okay, that
opponents.
City goal was fucking lucky. Let's be real.
Look, it's a goal's a goal, right? It doesn't say that when you look his numbers up. It doesn't say
But
what kind of goal. It says a goal.
there's the stat test and then there's the eye test.
Yeah. Well, hey, numbers reign supreme. Yeah, I mean that's kind of the best of the rest list we came up with. Double game weeks, obviously you want to start doing some forward thinking, but at the same time I wouldn't, slam your head through a wall trying to make your transfers this week. Just keep it in mind, and maybe
But
have
I
this be like.
slammed my head through a wall making transfers this week because I took an 8-point hit.
Yeah, I mean I do that on a regular basis just for health purposes, but there's no need to put your team in a blender if you don't have to yet.
That's fair.
We're going to lead off with our questions with one from Toti Andor on Twitter. Having just talked about double game week fixtures in OFPL, I thought this question was fitting to lead off. Since it turns out that there's not really going to be a double game week in Tauga, where the matches that would be the double game week are just going to be run in game week 35, which teams are we targeting for free agent pickups for the rest of the season slash leagues with enabled playoffs?
Well, number one and two are Everton and Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I especially like Crystal Palace defenders there. I actually tip James Tompkins as a rest of the season ad, and then definitely look at Patrick Van Aanholt with their matches after Liverpool. They have one of the best run-ins in terms of fixture difficulty. And then, I mean, who do you like specifically on Everton from here on out outside of Tosin?
Oh, well, on Everton, I like Seamus Coleman. I like that Leighton Baines will likely be featuring more as long as they're not playing two games in a week. I'm iffy on Theo Walcott. I'm still hoping that Dominic Calvert-Lewin will find his way back into the lineup, but I don't really think that's going to happen with the fact that Sankt Tausen has been just too good.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Big Sam plays him in the position you'd love to see him in out wide.
Oh, yeah, because he's so effective out there.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, in terms of fixture difficulty, Bournemouth also has a pretty good run. So, I mean, that kind of puts like Charlie Daniels in consideration since he's a defender whose ownership fluctuates. And then, I mean, if you can get him, I'm sure he's owned in most competitive leagues, Junior Stanislas, as we mention every week.
Yeah, I really don't think a week has gone by on this pod. One, Junior Stanislas has been healthy, and his name has not come up on the pod.
Yeah, exactly. The next question comes from Satish. Does Tom Heaton factor in before the end of the season?
No, because the rest of the season is way too important to Bournemouth for them to risk screwing things up.
You mean Burnley? Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I do mean Burnley.
It's okay. In the beginning of the season, I thought Bournemouth were going to be the club challenging for seventh place.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very weird. I still cannot get used to how high Burnley is in the table. And unfortunately, that leads to slips of the tongue.
Yeah. So, I mean, the only way I could see this happening is if somehow Burnley, like, greatly can separate themselves from the pack, which being really just Leicester City and Everton,
I mean,
chasing.
Considering they're 3 points ahead of Leicester City,
yeah,
I don't really think they're going to come in with a great separation.
Yeah, so I mean, Heaton played two matches for the under-23s in his comeback bid. I'm guessing he's going to be playing elsewhere come next season. But yeah, I mean, Pope's been so good. I mean, statistically, he's been the best English goalkeeper in the Premier League this season. So it's really hard for him to see him losing that place. I mean, his save percentage is like 80%. He's got 10 clean sheets.
But I'm more just saying, like, in reality, there's only two other good English goalkeepers in the Premier League.
Essentially, what I'm saying is he is the one of the best goal. Outside of that, the top four, he's up there. So I put him in the top eight for keepers in the Premier League right now.
8 out of 20. Okay.
The second part of Satish's question, he has kind of two sections on here. In an 8-team league, which one of these guys do you like the most? Eric Lamella, Charlie Austin, Glenn Murray?
That's a tough one because, again, I don't think that Charlie Austin will stay healthy. I don't really think that Eric Lamella will get enough meaningful minutes to be useful. So that leaves us with 3 weeks of Glenn Murray.
Yeah, and then if Austin can stay fit, I like them both. But as I said, the trade-off being Austin probably won't be able to stay fit, whereas Murray has tough fixtures after the next 3 weeks. And then the second part is in an 11-team league for the remainder of weeks, who do you like the most? Adam Lallana, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, and Charlie Austin.
Any question, including Ruben Loftus-Cheek, automatically anoints Ruben Loftus-Cheek the winner.
Yeah, and he was the guy that in the first question I forgot to mention, if he's back and fit, he could have a real kick-ass end of the season with Crystal Palace's schedule, especially with him still in the conversation for sneaking into that England World Cup team.
Oh, yeah.
And then the last question was the one from John, which we answered earlier. But just to reiterate, what do people do with Morata if he doesn't start this week?
if you're in really any toga league, you drop his ass. If you're in OFPL and you still had him, I don't know how you have the rank you have right now to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, any other thoughts before we part ways for this week?
I've got nothing.
All right, perfect. I got a new Yankee candle.
As if you needed one.
Thank you for listening to FPL 360. I'm Sean Sullivan.
And I'm Chuck Booth. And remember, you can find us on Twitter at FPL underscore 360. And you can also find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
May your arrows be green.
Thank you.